All right, today we're going to continue our red series that we started last week on Easter Sunday. How many are thankful for the blood of Jesus? Amen. I want to happy report to you, we had 22 people raise their hands in three services last week that received Jesus. Come on, that's worth a hand clap right there. 22 people. What an awesome time. Listen, we talked about last week that when Jesus' blood, that's what the red stands for, the blood of Jesus, when it covers our life, when it covers the doorway, that it reopens back up. Remember what Adam and Eve did in the garden? Sin came in, and they shut the door between us and God. They shut the door, not allowing us to go through. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, there was an open door of communication, of God's presence with them. They could talk. He would talk with them. They would walk with God. But after sin came in, because God is a perfectionist, God is perfection, he came in and it shut the door behind us. But Jesus came back through that door. And when he died on the cross for us, the Bible says his blood was applied to our life. And he takes that and applies that blood over the doorway once again. And all who apply that blood to their life can now have that door open back up. So this is the great news about the blood of Jesus. See, this blood of Jesus sets us free. You've got to understand, there is supernatural power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in Jesus' name. And there's also power in the blood of Jesus. The power of the blood, it changes everything. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, everything changes. Everything changes by the blood of Jesus. It unlocks a supernatural grace in our life. Anybody here besides me, because I need it, anybody else want to agree with me and say, I need a supernatural grace in my life? We need a supernatural grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God gives it to us by the blood of Jesus. Today, some of you were raised like me, and maybe you can identify with this. I was raised in a fear-based Christianity, where if I had one sin I committed wrong, man, I was going to miss heaven. I was going to miss the rapture. I was going to miss when God calls us home. And so I lived in fear. They would show us these movies about the rapture, you know, and they'd be like, don't you miss it. You better turn or burn, baby. And they would just always there preaching at us. And man, and you always feel like if I make one simple sin or I do one simple mistake, I'm going to miss heaven. And I couldn't go to sleep at night unless I was like, God, forgive me my sins and forgive me about everything. And every night I repent, okay? Every night I'm repenting of my sins every night before I go to bed. I'm afraid if I go to sleep and God comes back, I'm going to wake up and everybody's going to be gone but me. And so it was this fear-based Christianity. And it becomes, we call it legalism, really is what it becomes, because it gets you a slave to that and performance-driven. And am I doing enough right things in my life? And one sin disqualifies me from being in God's grace. And then we have other people who you're on the opposite end of that. That was legalism. We have other people, you're on the opposite end of that. You were raised where, man, hey, I accepted Jesus. I was baptized as a kid. And now I can live how I want to. I'm free. Come on now. Turn to them. Say, I'm free now to do what I want, man. It's potty time. Where's that 140 gallons of wine Jesus turned water into wine? We can do what we want. Yeah, man, we can do anything we want because now I'm free, you know. And so we call it hyper grace. It's just hyper grace. We take grace and we hyper extend it to every area of our life, and we can just live however we want without any consequences. And both are wrong. Both extremes are wrong. So what we're trying to do during this red series is we want to come back and find the balance of Scripture and see exactly where God wants us to be and find out exactly how free we really are and what's our response to that freedom. And so it's going to set you free. For many people in this room, it's going to set you free from condemnation, from self-doubt, self-guilt. And it's also going to say, what is my response to that now? How should I respond to that? So we're learning about this thing of God's grace. See, when I have a clear biblical, listen to me, when I have a clear biblical understanding of what the blood of Jesus does in my life, it should propel me. It should fuel me to live my life on fire for God. You should be a woman on fire for God. You should be a man on fire for God. Well, Pastor, I'm just not an emotional person. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. I seen how last year when the Chiefs finally had a good season, how emotional people can be. You crazy. Hey. Come on now, you go crazy. There's nothing wrong with that. I love the game. I love you. When I'm at my team, I'm crazy too, okay? You won't find a bigger fanatic than me. But how many know that when I really got a true understanding of what God's blood, what Jesus' blood has done in my life, it should make me the biggest fanatic for Jesus there ever was. And what I don't mean not being crazy, what I mean is being bold, is saying, man, I want to live my life on fire for God. I want to live my life on fire to show others what God has done in my life and how he can change their life as well. So we're going to understand what this means. So I want to talk to you today about the thought, his blood makes me righteous. His blood makes me righteous. What is righteousness? It's a word here we see. Let's go to Scripture, Romans 4, 1 and 4. We're going to spend most of our time in this text today talking about our father Abraham. Let's see what I have to say about Abraham. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, when we say our father, it means our spiritual father, okay? God raised Abraham up to start a new nation, and he was going to work a father of many nations. Our spiritual lineage comes back to Abraham. He goes, our father has found according to the flesh. Now, look at what it says about Abraham's salvation. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to brag about, to boast about, but not before God. See, there's no bragging before in heaven, so you don't know. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him. Let's say that word. Accounted. One more time. Let's say accounted. That's going to be a big word today. We'll come back to that at the end of our message. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Everything we have in life has either been given to us, gifted to us, or we earn it. Everything we have in life has either been a gift given to us, or we have earned that thing. One or the other. So either it's a gift or it's a wage. Either it's something we have purchased on our own or something that we received from somebody else that we got as a gift. And so today, if I asked you, and I went out and I asked 100 random people in one of the stores here at the mall today, I said, how can we get to heaven? The biggest majority would say, if you want to go to heaven, what do you think they would say? This off the top of your head, what do you think people would say if I said, how do we get to heaven? Be good, right? I mean, the majority of the people would say something along the lines of, be a good person. Do more good than bad in your life. Be a good person. And so that would be the whole theme about how we get to heaven. And the problem with that is this, is that none of us are that good in our life. See, we feel like if I commit a bad week, if I had a bad day, if I had a bad week, then I come into church like this. Oh, man, Pastor Gene wants us to worship and lift our hands. And, man, I just have been a horrible person all week. Man, if you could really see me, Pastor Gene, if you could follow me around this week, you really wouldn't be that proud of me. And, man, you would think, man, I was the biggest failure this week. I disappointed God so much this week. And so I come in. And I'm here, but you know what? I don't feel worthy. I feel like a second-class Christian. I don't even feel like lifting my hands because I feel so disappointed in myself. The whole problem about that is this. When you do that, you're putting your worship all about you. Because worship's not about my performance. Worship is about what Jesus did on the cross for me. What the Father did and by sending his Son and reopening the door. I don't worship God because of what I've done. I worship God for what he has done. That's why it's grace. It's grace that sets me free. It's grace. It's not something I've earned because I've done enough good things in my life. It's because of my position with the Father. It's my position in the family. Come on, turn somebody. It's about the family. It's about the family. See, God's standard is perfection. If you don't know this, God is a perfectionist. And his standard is perfection. The only problem is this. There's never been anybody except for one live up to that standard. And that was his son, Jesus. The rest of us have fallen short. The rest of us are not up to that standard. Only one, and his name was Jesus. Anybody here want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, maybe you're like me. You say, I've broken a lot of spiritual laws in my life. Anybody want to raise your hand and join the club with me? Yeah? Okay. Thank you for a lot of honesty there. I've broken a lot of them. I feel you, Jeff. Okay, I see you. All right. I've broken a lot of those. How many here say, Pastor, I really wasn't that bad of a person, but I have broken just maybe a few. Anybody want to raise your hand? I've broken a few of the spiritual laws, a time or two. Okay. God bless you. The rest of you didn't raise your hand. You just lied. So you broke one right there. All right. So today, this is the problem we have, because the Bible teaches us about the perfection of God. Look what James 2:10 says about this. For the person who keeps all of the laws, but you've broken just one, okay? If you've broken even one law, he is as guilty as the person who's broken every single law there is. Why? Because God's a perfectionist. God's a perfectionist. And so you're just as guilty. It's kind of like the person who says, you know what? I'm not guilty. All I did, I let a friend borrow the car, and they took my car down here, and they robbed the bank. Well, you're just as guilty as the person who robbed the bank if he loaned them your car. We're all guilt by association. We've all been guilty. Whether you've had one failure in your life or a million doesn't make a difference. We've all failed and come short of the glory of God. But no one has lived a perfect life except for Jesus. Now look what Romans 4:3 says again. Let's go back to that scripture. Now Abraham, what does scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So what does righteousness mean? Let's look at this definition. What does righteousness mean? Righteousness means this. It means simply this. It's not a complex definition. It's actually very simple when you think about it. It means in right standing with God. Oh, really? I thought it was like this really hyper-spiritual thing. No, it simply means this. That if I'm righteous, it means I've been placed in right standing with God. I'm in right standing with God. And the problem is this. It's about our position with God, not our performance. You see, we put everything with performance-based. People will love me if I perform a certain way. People will accept me if I perform a certain way. People will forgive me if I perform a certain way. People will like me if I perform a certain way. But in the kingdom of God, it's not this way. It's about our position in the kingdom. God has put me in right standing with the Father. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. He puts me into right standing, not based off of anything I've ever done. Now think about it. Have you, growing up, did you ever have a friend who was the crazy friend? And, I mean, they were crazy and they were wild, but when you brought them home to your house, your mom or your dad or both of them would treat them so well. They would bring them in. They would like put them at the best seat at the table. They'd ask them, hey, have you had supper yet? Let me fix you some supper. What would you like? You're like, Mom, you don't ask me what I want. But you're asking them what they want. You're fixing them their favorite meal. You're watching their favorite movie. You're going by the store and getting their favorite ice cream. And you're allowing them to sleep in the best couch. And you're giving them the best pill. I mean, all these things that happen. And you're inside. You're like, if my mom knew how crazy this friend was, she wouldn't even want me hanging out with them. But was your parents accepting of them? And some of you are like, no, that was me, Pastor. I was the crazy one. I was the one who parents treated me that way. I didn't deserve it. Why did they do that? Why did our parents do that? Was it based off of the performance of the person that you were bringing home? Were they based off of the performance of that friend? No. It was based off of what? It was based off of your relationship with their child. All right, they're friends with my child. And so because they're friends with my child, I'm going to bring them up and put them at the seat at the table. And not because they deserve it, because you're a friend of my sons, you're a friend of my daughters. Come and sit at the table. Come and eat with us. Come. Do you need something? Can I get something for you? I treat them better than even family. Why? Because they're a guest of my child. They belong in a relationship with a child. And the reason why God treats us with grace is not because of anything good we've done. It's because of our relationship with His Son. It's our relationship with His Son. When I make His Son Lord of my life, now the Father invites me in through the door once again to sit at His table. I'm telling you, that is exciting news. He reopens the door and He allows us to sit at the table of the Father through our position, not by our performance. It's an amazing thing. He doesn't treat us like we deserve. That's why it's grace, right? He treats us like a son. See, grace today is getting what we don't deserve, right? When we get something good happen to us when we didn't deserve it, that's grace. Justice is getting what we do deserve. Getting the punishment we do deserve, that's justice. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks here. But we get God's grace. It's because God has adopted me into His family and His relationship with His Son. So let me ask you this question. Does me living right make me righteous? Does us, when we live right, does it make me righteous? Or does being made righteous make me live right? See, that's what should happen. It's not me living right makes me righteous. It's the fact that I've been made righteous because of grace that now I want to go out and I want to live right. My response is, I want to live right. My response is now, I want to do the right thing. I want to represent God well. I want to be the right testimony. I want to bring as many people into the kingdom as possible. I want to serve in the kingdom now. Why? Because He gave His life for me. He adopted me. He brought me into the table. He opened the door to God once again in my life. And so my only response is, God, whatever You want in my life. God, whatever You want me to do. Whatever You want me to give. God, whatever You ask of me, yes, yes, yes. It causes me to want to live right because of the right standing God has placed me in. Come on, somebody get God a hand clap for that. You ever had a morning when you get up and, man, you wake up about 5 minutes before the alarm goes off and you look at your alarm and go, man, alarm's getting ready to go off, but I already woke up on my own. And you wake up and you're like, man, I feel like $1 million. I slept the best I've slept in a long time. I slept for like 8 hours straight and don't even remember waking up once. And you get up, you're feeling rested, and you go in and you take a hot shower. And yes, it's hot because for whatever reason, there's plenty of hot, warm water that morning. And you're taking the nice shower and you get up and you find matching socks as soon as you open your drawer. I mean, it's a miracle right there. And your clothes you wanted to wear was already hanging up. It doesn't need ironing. You put them on and you get out the door and you go down the, and someone's already got your coffee waiting for you. You're like, thank you. Yes. It smells great. And you drink your coffee and you get your breakfast on and you get out to the car and you see the ball come flying over the fence in the neighbor's yard and you catch it. You say, hey, kids, be careful. And you throw it back. Hey, have a good time at school today. And you get in your car and you start driving to work. And as you drive to work, you hit every green light all the way to work. I mean, it's like, hallelujah. I mean, you're like waving at people. God bless you. Oh, they're playing my favorite song today on the radio. This is my favorite worship song. You know, you're just like, go after you. And you pull into the parking lot, which is usually full of cars everywhere. And there's one spot open. And it's your favorite spot right up front. And you get in right there like, how was this? I never get to park in this place. And you get out and you walk across the street and there's an old lady right there that's trying to cross the street. And so you grab her by the arm, hey, let me help you across the street. And you help her across the street. And she says, thank you, young man. And you walk into the door and everybody's like, hi, how you doing? Good to see you. It's a great day. You ever had those days? Well, how about the time when you get up only to realize you set your alarm for p.m. instead of a.m.? And now you've overslept and you're in a rush to try to, I've only got 5 minutes to get ready and get out of the house, and you run to take a shower and all there is left is cold water. Ice cold water. And you go to shampoo your hair and the shampoo's out. You go to grab the towel to dry off and all there is one left over, the one with the holes all in it, nobody else wants to take. And you get all, you can't find a pair of matching socks. You got to find one black, one white, and one's shorter and one's longer. And you're like, you just got to get, hopefully no one sees what I'm wearing. Your clothes are wrinkled. You can't get the iron to work. You come out and the ball flies over the fence, hits your car. And you take that kid's ball and you kick it down the street. Don't you ever throw your ball on the side. Keep it in your own yard. You get in your car and you hit every red light going to work. And so you get antsy, you get upset, and you get people cutting you off in traffic, and you wave at them and tell them they're number one, you're having a great morning, and you get to park in the back of the parking lot after circling for 5 times, finally you find the last spot in the very back, and you walk up, you're running late, and you push the old lady aside, and you run across the street, and you walk in, everybody's like, you're late, you're late, you're like, I know it, shut up. Now, out of those two, which one is righteous? Which one's righteous? Let me give you an answer. If they're both covered by the blood of Jesus, they're both righteous. Because our righteousness is not based on our performance. It's based on our position. Now, listen. That person who has that kind of day, yeah, they're sowing some grass seeds. They're ruining their witness. They're not being a very strong witness for God. But it doesn't change the fact that they're still a child of God, covered by His blood. And my righteousness is not performance-based. That should set you free today. Come on, give God a hand clap. It's based on my position in Christ. We can't earn it. It's something God does for us. This will set you free. The second question, let's answer this. Did Abraham earn it? Not what righteousness is. Now, did Abraham earn this righteousness? Romans 4:2, we just read it. Look what it says. For if Abraham was justified by works, what he earned, he has something to brag about, right? But then he answers that question, but not before God. He's saying this, there will be no bragging in heaven. There's no bragging in heaven. God, I did this for you. God, I did that for you. God, I did so many great works. It's not because we're not saved. We're not justified by our works. I do good works because I've been justified. I do good works because God has done a miracle in my life and changed my position. But that spurs me to do good works. But those aren't the things that save me. It's grace. Did he earn it? Romans 4:4, look what it says. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. If you earn it, it's not grace. It's something you earned. That's what he's saying. God's like, if you earned it, then I owed it to you. You worked for it, so now I owe this to you in response. But grace is this. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it because you can't be that perfect. You can't. There's only one. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, now it's called grace. We can receive this blood of Jesus on our door, reopening our door to God's life, reopening our door to God's presence in our life because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let me give it to you another way. Grace is what I get when I didn't deserve it. Look at these accounts. We've got three accounts here. Let's imagine these are three savings accounts. One's a bad person's, one's a good person's, one's a perfect person. Now, let's think about somebody who has a bad account in their life. Let's think about, how about the name Gene? That's a good name right there. All right. Gene's a good name for a person who has a bad account. This person has committed a lot of sin before in his life. He did a few things right, but man, he had a lot of sin in his life. And he has got all of this sin in his account. Let's think about somebody who's been mostly good in their life. Who could be someone who was really, really good? How about a name like Melody? Oh, that's a good name right there. Melody. Melody, she's a person who did all these right things. I mean, she was born speaking in tongues out of the womb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seriously, this girl, she drank NyQuil one time when she was 18, and she fasted for 3 days asking God to forgive her. She didn't do a lot of wrong until she met me. I'm like, come on, woman, you got to live a little bit. You know, and I did my best to disciple her. But, yeah, I tried. But she was like squeaky clean, did all these right things, a few small sins, and I had all these big sins in my past. But the good thing is this, and also the bad thing is this, that both of our accounts are the same. Whether you have one or two sins in it, or you have a multitude of sins, it disqualifies us from being righteous. It disqualifies. To him who has even one is just as guilty as the person who has broken all the laws. But there's only one who was perfect without any sin at all. His name was Jesus, and his account is full of righteousness. His bank account is full. The big R right there means his account is full of righteousness. He was the only one who was perfect. But the problem is this, Isaiah 64:6, look what it says. All, everybody say all. That's us. All of us have become like one who is unclean. And when we try to do all these righteous acts, when we try to earn it, he goes, they're like filthy rags. That's what he says there. He says, it's like filthy rags. These righteous acts are like filthy rags. See, that doesn't make a difference whether you have an account full of multiple sins or you get an account full just of a few sins. Everything is filthy rags. We're all unclean. Are you seeing this? When we go to swipe our card, it's going to be declined because all of us are not worthy. Only one account is going to pass, and that was his son Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, he applied that blood to our lives. And if we'll just believe in that blood, if we'll just cover our life with the blood of Jesus by saying, God, I believe in the cross of Jesus. I believe you was the Messiah. I believe that you died for my sins. I cover that blood now over my life, and I cover that power over my life, and it sets me free. It changes my account. Look what happens here now. My account begins to change. This is the beautiful thing of the cross. This is the beautiful thing of our relationship with God, the Father. God took my sin and he emptied it all out into Jesus' account. And he took all of Jesus' account and he emptied it into my account. And he did the same for you. He did the same for you. He took all of our sin. He put it upon Jesus, and Jesus took that sin to the cross. And even though we don't deserve it, he now takes Jesus' account, and he empties it now into our account. And now when he looks at us through the filter of his son, and he sees something happening here. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. Did we earn it? No. Do we deserve it? No. That's why it's grace. And that's why it sets me free, is because I'm in righteousness, not because of anything I deserve. Some of you here, you're like me. I'm the last person to deserve it. I'm the last person to deserve God's righteousness. But he gave it to me anyway. He gave it to me anyway. And when I get that revelation, Satan, you have nothing for me. This world has nothing for me. My heart has already been won. My life is already indebted. My purpose is now clear that I have been put into right standing with God, not based on my own works or merit, but based on God's grace. I'm going to live the rest of my life saying, how great is our God? How good is our God? How much love is from the Father? How much grace has He given me? And God has something better for your life. Come on, give me a hand. This should fuel your desire. This should launch you to a new place. You're saying, God, I'm not doing any good works because I'm trying to earn your love. I'm doing it because of how much grace you've given me. I'm doing it because I really see now how much you really love me. When I was a bonehead and I didn't deserve it, when I ran from you, when I rejected you, you still took my sin upon the cross and you emptied down. Father, you took Jesus' account and you put it over my life. The last thing today, it says Abraham believed. He believed. John 6:28 says, then they said to him, they were talking to Jesus, and they were asking him, what shall we do? What? That we may work the works of God. They're like, all right, Jesus, how do we work this thing in the new kingdom? You're talking about this new kingdom. How do we go to work? How do we earn this thing with the Father? And Jesus answers them, all right, you want to know how to earn it? This is how you earn it. This is the work of God that you believe. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You mean I don't have to get on my hands and knees and crawl 60 miles through broken glass and rocks and do all this penance thing, and I don't have to go back and say 10 Hail Marys a day for 100,000 years? I mean, all these things we in our mind think we should be doing? Jesus says, this is what you got to do. You got to believe in Him whom He sent. Who did He send? Jesus. He sent Jesus through the doorway once again. When I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He took the sins of the world and nailed them to the cross, His blood becomes applied to my life, reopening the doorway now. This is the work of the kingdom right here. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. This last scripture I'm going to read as the musicians come. John 3:17. John 3:17 says this, for God what? Say it out loud. For God did not. Say it out loud. I want to hear you say it. For God did not. To what? Condemn the world. Let's say it again. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. See, some of you have a wrong view of God. Your whole view is messed up because we think God's here to condemn me. God's here to condemn me. God was sent to condemn me. No, that was not the spirit behind why God sent His Son. The reason why Jesus was sent from the Father down was not to condemn us, but to reopen the door back up to the Father. That now you and I can be once again be saved. There's a pathway to freedom. There's a pathway to heaven. There's a pathway to the Father. There's a pathway now. That door has been reopened back up, not because of anything we did to work to open that door, but because of what Jesus did to open that door. Now I can believe with confidence, even when I have a bad day, even when I go through a bad season, even when I'm dealing with addiction, even when I'm dealing with a failure, even when I'm dealing with all these other things in my past and I don't feel good enough, I want you to know today, your position is not based on your performance. It's based on you being adopted because of your relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. And He came to reopen that door back up for the Father. I want you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads, I want to ask you the most important question this morning. I want to make sure you're here today. If you have a chance to hear this question, it's the most important question that we all have to answer. Who is Jesus to you? And have you ever accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? With nobody looking, I want you to just bow your heads. And if you would please just close your eyes for a minute and think about this question. Today, am I in right standing with God? Have I allowed the blood to be covered over my heart today? The Bible says the way we do that is, first of all, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the first part. And the second part is we confess it with our mouth. And so today, if you've never confess Jesus as your Lord. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. I want to make sure you have a chance today to make this decision. Where you're sitting right now, if you're ready to say, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior today, can you just raise your hand? Let me see it. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? Thank you. Come on, raise it high. Today's your day. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, guys. This is what we're going to do. We're going to say this prayer out loud. If you raise your hand, I want you to say it with me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll help you along as well. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. If you said that today and meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Give me a hand clap today. Awesome. I'm going to invite you to stand up where you're at today. How many today said, Pastor, this message, but I need to hear this message today. You were speaking right to me. I need to hear about the freedom that comes from God's grace, man. I'm telling you, this message, this series is going to be life-changing for many people. When you can get off the performance mode and get into the position mode, it will change your attitude. It will change your relationship with the Father. I'm just going to be life-changing for many people. Come on, let's begin to thank Him that His reckless love sought after us, came after us. Let's worship Him this morning. Can you just lift our hands to Him in closing today? I want to pray for you before we leave. Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you today, God, that you have a seat at the table for all of us. Not because of our performance, but because of our position. So right now, I pray and come against that spirit that says we're not good enough, that says we have failed you, and we disappointed you. I come against that spirit of condemnation, and today I declare that there's a new freedom coming to our mind. There's a new freedom coming to our heart. This is going to be a new season for many people. There's going to be a new season of freedom be released in the hearts of many people throughout this whole series. And God, I pray that you do something miraculous through your word coming alive in our hearts. And we say together, amen. Come on, one more time. You got a hand clap? Listen, we love you. Thank you so much for being faithful to the house of the Lord. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.